Welcome to the Dental Code Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Practice Booster. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Grobmeier. Practice Booster is the dental industry's trusted source for dental coding, administration, medical dental cross-coding, and documentation resources. Practice Booster works hand-in-hand with the American Dental Association to provide dental practices and their teams with the most current information to maximize legitimate reimbursement and minimize risk. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and the information contained in this podcast has been researched as of the publishing date and is not to be considered legal advice or a guarantee of insurance reimbursement. Now join me and let's get started. Hey everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Dental Code Advisor Podcast. I'm Dr. Greg Grobmeier, and I'm going to be talking today about two of the codes that I see that are severely underutilized in practices every time I do one-on-one consulting with offices. And so I work with practices across the nation. These are two codes that I feel like are huge opportunities for practices that just are not used in the way that they should be. They're not used at all, or they are underutilized. Knowing how to correctly incorporate these two procedures into your practice and how to document and how to have the right attachments and the right language for claim submission is going to immediately affect your bottom line. Now, I go through both of these codes in the Dental Coding with Confidence manual, as well as the latest edition of the Insurance Solutions newsletter. So that'd be the March-April edition of ISN that should just be coming out. And so please go to those, read up on them a little bit more. But I'm going to do pretty much a deep dive onto these two codes right here on the podcast. Let's start with the first of these two codes, and that is the D0180 Comprehensive Periodontal Evaluation for new or established patient. Now, most practices that I'm working with are using D0150 comprehensive oral evaluation for their new patient exams, and they're using D0120 periodic evaluation for their recare visits evaluation. And that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly fine to do. However, there is an advantage to using D0180 when it is an appropriate thing to do. So let's look at the D0150 and how it compares to the D0180 and when you should use each. The D0150 has a nomenclature that states comprehensive oral evaluation, new or established patient. The descriptor then states that it must include an evaluation for oral cancer, the evaluation and recording of a patient's dental and medical history, and a general health assessment. After that, though, it says it may include some other things. And one of those other things is periodontal conditions, including periodontal screening and/or charting. And so it's saying that while being sure to notate the periodontal screening and charting may be included as a part of the comprehensive oral evaluation, it is not a requirement of this code to meet that criteria. In comparison, D0180, the comprehensive periodontal evaluation, new or established patient, says this procedure is indicated for patients showing signs or symptoms of periodontal disease and for patients with risk factors such as smoking or diabetes. It specifically then states it includes evaluation of the periodontal conditions, probing and charting, an evaluation for oral cancer, the evaluation and recording of the patient's general dental and medical history, and general health assessment. It may include the evaluation and recording of dental caries, missing or unerupted teeth, restorations, and occlusal relationships. So it's saying that the D0180 must include periodontal probing and charting as a criteria of the reporting of this code. So that's the big differentiator. D0180 has to include periodontal probing and charting, and it is only appropriate on patients that meet these certain qualifications. The qualifications are they have to show signs and symptoms of periodontal disease, or they have to have risk factors such as smoking, or being a diabetic, or being on medication that gives them dry mouth, or any other thing that would be a risk factor that would increase the odds of them having periodontal disease. So if you have a patient that meets these criteria and you are doing the periodontal probing and charting, it just makes sense to call that a D0180. By doing so, you're opening yourself up to a higher fee, a higher reimbursement from most insurance companies, not all, but most, because they're wanting to pay you for the extra time. This takes you an extra 15, 20 minutes to do this periodontal charting. You're talking about doing bleeding points and pocket depths and furcation involvement and mobility and all these things that you're having to write down and record. This allows you to get paid a little extra for that additional time that you're taking for those periodontal records. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go ahead and report not only the more accurate code, but one that potentially opens you up to a higher reimbursement? Again, not always, but very, very frequently. So that's for new patients. But what about recare patients? D0180 can be used for recare patients if it is that appointment where you are doing new periodontal probing and charting, and they have those qualifiers. They're a periodontal patient, or they've at least got risk factors for periodontal disease. So this is very appropriate for your D4910 perio maintenance patients. Maybe one time you're seeing them and you're just doing a general evaluation. That would just be a D0120 periodic. That's probably what you're doing twice a year, but maybe this one time you're doing D0120. The next time you're doing the same thing, but you're also doing periodontal records. In that case, that second visit would be a D0180. So D0180 is perfectly fine to use on those recare patients. Now, again, some plans are going to remap that to D0120, but not all. Many will pay for the D0180. The reimbursements vary wildly between plans. Some are only going to pay it once per year. Some may do it once every 2 years, once every 5 years. The language is going to change between those different plan documents, so you've got to be aware of that, but it's always appropriate to at least try to do the D0180. Again, if you are in network, you're going to have to abide by whatever the EOB says and accept that as your reimbursement. However, if you are out of network, you can collect the difference from the patient. So here we have two different uses of D0180. You may also want to set two different fees. Totally okay to do that since we've got two different uses of the code. So do a D0180.1 in your practice management software. That one might be for new patients and it might be set $10, $15, even $20 higher than the D0150. So when it's appropriate to use the D0180, you can have that higher fee. You can also have a D0180.2, and that would be for the recare patient situations. Now that fee would be $10, $15, $20 more than the D0120. And so again, if it's that particular appointment where you're doing recare on a periodontal patient and you're doing all the probing and charting, then you could report D0180.2 in your practice management software. All that's going to do is change the fee that you're submitting to insurance, and that is perfectly legal and appropriate to do. When you go to submit this, if you'd like to include a narrative, then that should list the patient's signs or symptoms of periodontal disease and or those risk factors. You want to talk about what those risk factors were in the patient's chart in the clinical documentation. Generally, however, a narrative on the claim form to justify reporting D0180 is not required, but it is helpful sometimes to get this positively adjudicated or paid. Do be sure to include the periodontal charting, however, as that is a necessary component of the delivery of D0180. So that was the first of the two codes that I wanted to talk about today. Just that one simple change, adding that in, can add a substantial amount of reimbursement increase to your practice over time. It may not be that much per claim, but think about how many of these new patients and how many of these recare patients that you're seeing in the periodontal maintenance recall. It adds up, and it can make a significant difference to your practice. The next code that I'd like to talk about is D4346, scaling in the presence of generalized, moderate, or severe gingival inflammation. D4346 was added to the code set to kind of bridge the gap between healthy patients that you'd be doing a prophy on and SRP. For a long time, there was not really anything in the middle. So D4346 is truly a gingivitis code. This is appropriate for patients who have greater than 30% inflammation in the mouth, but no bone loss. This is a very underutilized code. You've got patients who are in a healthy state that you're doing preventive therapy on, and then you have patients that have bone loss and periodontal disease. They don't just jump from one to the other. There has to be a transition there in the middle. There is a percentage of your patient base right now that would be appropriate to receive D4346. And yet a lot of practices don't use it at all. Now, you note this one is in the periodontal section in the 4,000s, not in the 1,000s. It is not a preventive service. This one is therapeutic because you are treating disease. So that's what you're having to get across in your clinical documentation, is that you are treating a disease process. You're not just doing supportive therapy or preventive therapy. This is a disease that you are actively treating with a therapeutic procedure. Again, note that the tissue inflammation must be both generalized, meaning greater than 30% of the mouth. You've got greater than 30% areas of the mouth that have bleeding on probing if you're doing bleeding points in your documentation. And it also must be moderate to severe. Can't just be generalized mild. It needs to be moderate to severe to qualify for D4346. So normally this is a full mouth procedure. It's typically completed on one single service date, often at the first visit to the practice. However, there are times where you have to split it up into more than one appointment date, just due to patient comfort or compliance or time availability, whatever the reason. If you do end up breaking it into more than one appointment, though, the procedure is not complete until the end of that second visit. And so that's the only time it can be submitted, only when the procedure is complete, when it's finished. So I do want to note that this is not a difficult prophy. That's a completely different thing that would still be coded as D1110. The D4346, on the other hand, is based on diagnosis, not the time required or the difficulty of the treatment. It's considered a therapeutic procedure for the treatment of a disease process, which is very different from preventive therapy like a prophy. So after you've delivered a D4346, you wait an appropriate amount of time. There's really no set waiting period, but since this is a therapeutic procedure to improve the patient's oral health, a reasonable amount of time, maybe a couple of weeks, up to 6 weeks, should be allowed for healing before the patient is brought back in and a prophylaxis is performed. If when you bring them back, they've still got generalized moderate to severe gingival inflammation, do another D4346. There's no limitations on the repeating that service. Do it until there is less than 30% inflammation in the mouth. Now, do note that with frequency limitations, oftentimes D4346 is counted just like a prophy. It's going to fall under the same frequency limitation. So if they've got two prophys a year, you're going to burn them up quickly doing a D4346 and then another prophy or another D4346. More than likely, this patient is going to have to be seen multiple times a year, at least initially, to get them back into a healthy recall every 6 months treatment timing. So some of those visits may end up, or likely will end up, coming out of the patient's pocket. But don't ever let insurance benefits dictate the treatment that's needed by that patient. Make sure you're delivering the care that that patient truly needs to get them back into a state of health. Now, documentation for D4346 is absolutely critical if you're wanting to get this thing paid for by insurance. We frequently see this one remapped or downcoded from a D4346 down to a prophy or D1110. You have to prove to this claims adjuster that this is not a healthy mouth. You are treating a disease process here. A prophy is not an appropriate therapy. And so your clinical documentation should reflect that. And you should also break out the intraoral camera. Take some photos of puffy, bleeding gums. The grosser, more red, inflamed gums you can show them, the better you're getting your point across that this is an unhealthy mouth or a disease process. You are trying your best to prevent what is now a reversible disease from progressing into an irreversible disease. That's the same conversation that you're needing to have with your patients as well. You're needing to talk to them about the fact that right now this is treatable. You haven't lost bone. You're going to be able to reverse this and get you back into a state of health and a normal recare pattern of every 6 months. But if you don't treat it, it's going to progress into an irreversible disease process called periodontal disease, which is much more difficult to treat, results in the loss of bone, which never grows back, and could lead to even further serious health consequences. So all this needs to be established by the clinical documentation. Get great photos, write a great clinical chart note so that the admin team up front can take that and turn it into a narrative that proves the medical necessity of this procedure to the claims adjuster on the other end. Lastly, I want to talk about patient comfort during the D4346 procedure. These are patients that by definition have red, puffy, inflamed gums. They may be very sore, very tender to the touch. So there are times where local anesthesia is appropriate. If you are ending up doing blocks, that is considered an integral part of this procedure. It's not something that can be coded or billed separately, but do what you need to do to get the patient treated without hurting them. Another potential option when treating patients like this, that you're doing whole mouth because you really don't want to do inferior alveolar blocks on both sides on the lower. And this is mostly just soft tissue we're talking about. So a great adjunctive service is to be able to offer a full mouth anesthetic rinse like Periovance oral rinse from Orobio. You can have a patient swish with Periovance for just 60 seconds, and that can give up to 2 hours of soft tissue anesthesia. It can also be reapplied if longer periods of anesthesia are needed, and it can even be sent home with the patient for continued pain relief if that's applicable. If you are dispensing Periovance oral rinse from the office, you could code that out as a D9630. So this is a great adjunctive service that you could offer just for your patient's comfort. So those are just two of the codes that I like to speak about when I'm doing revenue enhancements with practices across the nation. I like to walk through the code set and point out some different particular codes that I think would be of maximum benefit to the practices. I teach about the documentation. I teach about the attachments and the narratives and how to submit it properly in order to maximize the reimbursements that you're getting back. I'd love to talk to you more about that. If you were interested in having me look over your practice's coding reports, I'd be happy to do a 3-hour consult with you. You get 3 hours worth of CE credit as well, along with a lot of other great perks that come along with it. But for now, that wraps us up. I thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dental Code Advisor Podcast, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. Thanks a lot.
This podcast is brought to you by Practice Booster, an eAssist publishing company. To learn more, visit dentalcodeadvisor.com.